Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, January 16th. We're like barreling through January, and we've got, you know what? It's just a great day in the United States. Nothing's going on. It's a slow news day. I didn't just hear Heather Cox Richardson say, when I became an American historian, I didn't know I'd be talking about all this much stuff all at once with the normal administration. News like this would be the whole administration.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a day's news.
It's as if you tried to binge, like, all of Real Housewives in one day.
Yeah.
Like an entire season. It's just issue after issue, drama after drama. It's never ending. And that's where we're at.
Yeah. Some books I don't listen to on 2.5 speed, and it would be like The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. But that's what it feels like. It feels like you're listening to it on like 4X speed. So
yeah,
we're all just white knuckling another day. Thank you for being with us. If you are coming to us from anywhere internationally, things aren't just a shit show at home. I know there's all kinds of stuff going on abroad. So whatever crisis you and yours are grappling with, we stand in solidarity with you.
Yeah, seems like everybody is struggling. So
we're at the time.
Just know you are not alone. Yes. And even if you feel alone, I promise you, you're not. I really like Tim Walz's address to Minnesotans and others the other night, where he really emphasized you're not alone, no matter how alone you may feel. So for however comforting that might be, just take that with you, because it's easy to feel isolated and hopeless right now.
Absolutely. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. This weekend, oftentimes people set aside as a day of service. There's a event Paris and I are going to go to on Saturday. So I encourage you, find something in your community. It could be garbage pickup. It could be passing something out to people that need something passed out to them. There's probably a way to help. And even if it's, you feel like it's so little, I'm like, I've done something. I've done something. So I hope you find something to do. And today we've got six stories of all kinds of wild stuff to tell you all about.
Oh, yes. Yeah. In the gamut. As always. You all delivered, and we appreciate it. So I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
Let's get freaky. This first one is from Susie, and is called 90s Purity Culture Horror Story. Hello, Christy and Heather. Your Mike Warnke episode really unlocked the childhood memories for me. Let me tell you. My sister and I were raised in a very conservative, evangelical Southern Baptist household, and my parents were heavily involved in the church. Dad was a deacon, mom was on the ladies' outreach committee, and they ran the youth group together. They took the threat of Satan very seriously and dedicated themselves to eradicating the evil of Satan in our lives. For example, we were not allowed to watch the Smurfs because the names Gargamel and Azrael were rooted in occult practices and desensitized children to Satanism. Honestly, we weren't allowed to watch most TV, but that's the one I remember and resented the most as a kid. I was not allowed to be in the gifted kids program at school because they felt that their approach was, quote, too new age and didn't align with their beliefs. They said that programs like that use science to lure people away from the light of God. I spent my entire childhood in Awana, which is basically Scouts for Jesus, but you mostly just memorize scripture. It's absurd. It was the only extracurricular I was allowed to be in. I can still list all of the books of the Bible in order from memory. That has helped me exactly zero times in my adult life. My parents adored Mike Warnke. We had all of his tapes, and my parents even saw him live at one point. My dad always identified with Warnke and felt they both had walked similar paths of adversity that led them to the Lord, all because my dad had to join the military due to being a teenage delinquent in the 1970s. Although my dad never worshiped Satan, so I guess that makes him more like Warnke than he thought. I could go on for days, but I'd like to share the most fucked up part of my entire religious upbringing and the reason that I left the church. It didn't have to do with a satanic panic, though it's still pretty terrible. Evangelical Christians have always been creepily and dangerously obsessed with girls' virginity, but purity culture was huge in the 1990s. When I started high school, my parents even made me sign a True Love Waits pledge, but it was when I turned 16 that I really saw how fucked up all that purity culture and religious shit was. One Sunday, between the hymns and the sermon, my dad got up to speak to the congregation. That wasn't unusual, as he was a deacon and would speak occasionally. But when he got up there, he started to talk about me. At first, it was kind of nice. I sat there thinking he was just being a dad celebrating his youngest daughter's milestone of sweet 16. He spoke about how smart and thoughtful and kind I was, how I had grown so much from a little girl to being almost a woman. He spoke about my talents for poetry and photography and art. He lamented my messy room to great laughs. He praised what a good Christian child of God I was, how I was devoted to Bible study. He talked about how I was going to make a wonderful wife one day, and how happy he was that I took my spiritual place in a man's future so seriously. He said that he was proud that I was saving myself for the husband God intended for me, and that he was looking forward to walking me down the aisle one day, and that my white dress would be deserved. He spoke about how I would not be sullied by the sins of the flesh, and that my family could be proud that I had preserved the greatest gift that I would ever give my future husband, my virginity. He then called me up to the pulpit in front of the entire congregation and presented me with a diamond purity ring that symbolized my commitment to Christ and keeping myself pure until my future husband replaced that ring with his own. I was fucking humiliated. The other kids in the youth group never let me hear the end of it, but it wasn't them making fun of me that bothered me. It was all the men in the church that came up to me in the following weeks to comment to me their approval at my choice to remain a virgin until marriage. The things they would say to me made me so deeply uncomfortable that I started having panic attacks on Sundays before church. But when I tried to tell my mom about how I felt about these men talking to me about my fucking virginity, she said I was just misunderstanding their intentions and that my discomfort was actually a good thing because it proved that I was truly innocent about sex. I did not have the courage to admit to her that I was definitely not a virgin at that point. So I ended up wrestling with some tremendous guilt and shame. The experience caused a lot of damage. A little over a year later, my mom passed away and my dad quit going to church, so I was able to stop attending too. And I haven't been back since, and I never will either. I struggled for years with anything regarding sexuality or desire, and it is honestly taking a lot of therapy for me to be able to experience pleasure without crippling shame. And for some reason, I still have that ring. I never could bring myself to get rid of it. I also think my sister still has the Warnke tape somewhere. She's still looking for them. These days, I have deconstructed my religious upbringing all the way to becoming a witch and a pagan. I worship no one, and I play the band Ghost every Sunday, just because the pettiness makes me smile. I haven't talked about my experience much to anyone other than my husband and therapist, but after the Warnke episode, it felt like a good time to unburden myself to people who I know will validate my experience as what it actually was, trauma. Thank you both from the bottom of my heart to both of you for using your platform to be voices for so many who would not otherwise be able to speak, and for encouraging the kind of good that the church has destroyed with its dogma. Stay creepy and wonderful, ladies.
Oh, well, thank you, Susie, for trusting us with this that you have not shared with other folks. While it is very silly that the Smurf and the Gargamel thing, Gargamel is just kind of like based on a French word, but it's made up. It's like a made up cartoon word for them to be like, it's the devil. But that purity stuff is, I think that does a serious number on women, of which you touched on one, which is the issue of demonizing a woman's pleasure, something that's a natural thing that rises up in us as our hormones rise up when we're going through puberty. But also there's this idea that you're remaining kind of under your father's control, mm-hmm. where you're like the headship concept, which is thrown around in a lot of these circles, so that you never really are your own person. The idea is that you get transferred over from one man to another, handed off, manhandled.
Which is, I mean, really in history, that is what marriage was.
Yeah, that's what they
were. You traded your daughters like you traded cattle.
She has huge. You became
your husband's property after that. Even the silly stuff like the Smurfs and everything, all of those little things add up to so much just insidious brainwashing and weaponizing your religion against children and whoever else. And I'm sorry that your parents were so knee deep in this that they weren't protecting you from this. The purity thing is so fucking creepy and awful. Every time I see those purity balls with these young girls in white dancing with their fathers, getting these purity rings, and again, pledging their lives to Christ before they marry a man. Yeah. Maybe that's not in your plan. Maybe you don't want to marry. You don't want to marry a man. Maybe men aren't your thing. But it's all assumed that you are a God-fearing, heteronormative girl that will grow up and do the things that they believe are the things a girl should do. And like you said, it strips one of one's autonomy and hope, you know? And like at 16, I was thinking about like what the rest of high school and college would look like and like what I was going to do that weekend with my friends. To be burdened with something this heavy at such a young age is disgusting. And it's just another way that they keep children, the most vulnerable of our population, under their thumb, because when it all comes down to it, that's what it's about, is shaping these kids in the image that you want them shaped and make America great again.
You know, you have the followers that fall in line, certainly. And I feel bad that you were robbed of your gifted kids experience. That was one of the funnest parts of going to school, man. I had so much fun getting bussed over, learning the Gateway projects, learning how to remote view with the psychics of the sea. I'm just kidding. People on TikTok truly do.
Is that what Ella's doing in GT?
Yeah.
Because I was told they were learning about symbiotic relationships. But if they are remote viewing, I will go up there and participate.
Yeah, you really missed out. No, but seriously, that's sad because who knows what things, you know, and you now have your autonomy and your freedom and you can explore. But I would like to point out that opportunities that you might otherwise would have liked to have taken advantage of that were taken from you, that's also a real loss that I think you're allowed to mourn. And other folks that are similarly situated are the same. You know, you kind of think, oh, you know, I don't want to split hairs with mom and dad. They tried their best. Yeah, okay. But also, that doesn't absolve them of the reality, which is they, based upon their own fixations, they then stole opportunities from you is what it looks like to me. And also it sounds like saddled you with some stuff that you have the burden to now unburden yourself from. So good on you for doing the work. And I'm sorry you have to do it, but bless your husband and your therapist for helping you.
Yeah, for sure. And any group that's like, you want to do something where science is involved? No, that will take you away from the Lord. Huge red flag.
Yeah.
Science is science. That's how we have so many things. So if they're using that to say you shouldn't listen, it's probably because you should listen. And it's exactly the type of stuff they don't want you to hear, because they don't want you to question anything that you hear in the church, but question everything, including authority. And I'm sorry that it took what sounds like your mom's passing for this to end. You know, if there's one silver lining to that, perhaps it is that you were allowed to get out of the church that way.
Yeah. And that you now have found a practice that works for you and that makes you feel grounded and connected. And you can celebrate your Sundays the way you'd like to with your favorite band.
Crank up Ghost and do a spell.
Hell yeah. Also, if you find those Mike Warnke tapes, though, send us a copy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And thank you for including the picture of the purity ring. And
absolutely.
Again, that is such a weird thing to like, it's so layered. I mean, I could give a TED talk about my opinions on this whole thing, but it's a man giving you a ring to symbolize the holding of a man on you until another man comes along, and then you're passed to that man.
What a weird dibs ownership thing going on there. Not like you can choose to do the things you want to do in your life, but it's like, well, we've put a brand on the cattle. What do we put on the child? They don't let us brand them. Let's, a ring. Yeah, no, it is weird. And the guy, a lot of the purity stuff kicked off like in, this book was published in 97, and it was like, why I've stopped dating by this, you know, Christian speaker guy. And then it got taken way beyond what he expected. And I'm pretty sure he stopped the book from being printed and was like, I'm not even a Christian anymore. Y'all took this way too far. My bad. So it's always, again, crazy when something gets, much like Mike Warnke's lie, it gets way beyond them. And now you have these purity balls, and the guy that wrote the original book's like, yikes. Like,
and you I'm have so your dad sorry. Talking about your virginity in front of a congregation of your peers and elders. And I can't think of something that makes me want to popple myself more
than that. Oh my God.
I would fucking melt into a puddle if that had ever happened to me. You're on the spot.
That is what I do not get about all the, quite frankly, oftentimes old white men of the church being fixated on the genitalia of children. And so much so.
Because they're all fucking molesters, Heather.
I mean, it's true. It's also
not
like, why,
all, but
why
it's so prevalent.
Not all of them, but yes.
And it is so prevalent in the church. And this is an example of how it remains that way. Because you have young girls who have been told by their fathers, you can't have sex. You're saving yourself for God. And then you have other men that are your father's age coming up and saying gross, inappropriate stuff to you. And then taking you, you know, back behind the pulpit and doing whatever they want. I got a lot of problems with a lot of people. You're all going to hear about it.
And it's all wrapped up in this, but it really is. I think
in my opinion, it is so wrapped up in evangelical Christianity that it can be traced back to the root of a lot of problems we are seeing right now in today's current administration. Just being able to have a free pass at kids and doing what you want to them and keeping them under your control when it comes to sex.
Yeah, it's they wish for eternal girlhood for some, it seems like. And purity
rings. Why do you think that is?
Because that's why all the AI dolls, when you hear them talk, they're like, hi, I'm your AI girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why you talk like that?
They want all the girls to look like little girls because they like little girls.
Yeah. And when you hear the voices of those AI chatbots, it's not, they don't sound like me and you. They don't sound like ladies of a certain age.
But they are getting better. And without even asking, Alexa did an upgrade where it's more personable and friendly sounding. One of my friends was like, I asked Alexa a question and she replied like she was a girlfriend talking to me. And my friend told it like, don't be talking like this. Go back to your other setting. Why did
whatever
you
this
change
is.
This? Yeah.
No, thanks.
And told her kids like, Alexa is a robot. She is not a real person. So she shouldn't sound like a real person. To really, because the more we all advance with all this shit, the harder and harder it gets to decipher like what's AI and what's not. And I think that's by design. So it's important to keep in mind they are robots. We are humans.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a time when we're going to have to draw lines where your friend's like, what? This is my, and it's a 4-foot-tall silicone doll that also has an animatronic face and speaks to him through an AI app, which exists right now and you could currently buy. And is like, I am Justin's girlfriend and I love Justin. And you're like, we're not having this thing at dinner. And he's like, you can either have both of us or none of us. And it's like, oh,
well,
no.
Then I guess we just cleared two plates because exactly. I'm not letting you sit here with that. And I hope that doesn't come across as like shaming of any type. It's more, I'm looking at it as a protective measure.
Oh, I'm shaming people who have sex dolls that sound like children because they do sell those.
Oh,
right now.
That. Yeah.
All their voices sound like they haven't hit puberty yet. So, and I think it's intentional.
I need to do more research because I haven't heard them talk. So I guess I don't know what they sound like.
Well, somebody needs to go put a purity ring on the sex dolls because they're loose in the streets. Well,
truly,
Susie, thank
and
you.
And the sheets, which is.
Not mama, we want it all.
I don't even want to get into it.
She's like, I don't need sheets. You can wash me and hose me down in the backyard. But thank you, Susie, for sharing this story with us. And it's always like our Quiverful episode and stuff like this. It's always a disturbing look into the evangelical Christianity.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood will be right back. I'll tell you what. I have always had garbage furniture in my house, and I don't mean that as a denigration of myself. I just never knew where to pick something good, and I was like, then they're going to deliver it. It's going to be a huge hassle. It's a whole deal. I'll tell you what, with Article, completely, I mean, they blew my mind. I got a beautiful piece that fits. It looks like I bought it at, I mean, insert the name of the finest of places. It is well-made. It's solid, and when I tell you beautiful. The white glove delivery was hilariously easy. Paris was like, what are they going to do? Like, what do you mean white glove? I said, I literally think it took maybe 10 minutes. They were the nicest guys. They were so gentle with my furniture. It was installed. I mean, I say installed. They just walked in, put it in, took a picture. Could not have been easier. Article, if you need something, go get it off Article. It'll be a great experience.
My stuff is getting delivered on Saturday.
I'm so happy for you.
Very excited for it. Article has seriously changed the way I shop for furniture. Their curated collections like mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi make it super easy to mix and match pieces that actually look good together. It's not overwhelming. I know sites can be somebody who just looked at over 1,000 rugs. It can be overwhelming. And every piece on Article feels intentional. I love that what you're getting is high quality, well-crafted furniture that looks expensive, but it doesn't come with the sticker shock. And the fact that most of it arrives already assembled, a miracle, because putting together furniture is one of my top 3 most hated things to do.
Truly, I was shocked. I thought they were going to have to come in and put it together. And when they gently like turned the box, they knew exactly what they were doing. The second the piece arrived, I could see it was packaged so safely. When they took it out, I was like, it's going to be kind of hollow and thin feeling. It's a solid piece and it's beautifully, the edges are so nicely finished. The color is perfect. You can tell that they don't just like throw in filler pieces to fill a catalog, that it is craftsman made pieces. And if you're not sure where to start, their support team is really great and they'll offer design help for free. Fast delivery, fair pricing, a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. It is a smart, no hassle way to furnish your space.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/creepy and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/creepy for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Well, this next one is from Bree, and it's called Girl's Best Friend. Let me tell you the story of the first and last time I went for a walk without my phone and the time my best girl saved my ass. I was walking my dog, Nala, around our suburb. We lived in an okay area, but not far away was an industrial precinct with lots of warehouses and factories, and that's where Nala and I were walking. It wasn't late at night, but just starting to get dark. We turned onto a long, wide street lined with factories on one side and a rail line on the other. Unfortunately, I hadn't timed the walk well, and we were on a stretch with no streetlights. It was about 2 kilometers or a little over a mile to the next intersection. As we walked along, quite happily, a motorbike drove past us, going in the direction we came from. Nothing unusual. Until it came back. Same bike, I was sure of it. It had the same green stripes along the seat and an Australian flag sticker on the rear fender. Okay, no worries, he's just chucking a lap. Maybe he missed his turnoff? Watching him, I could see the motorbike take the roundabout ahead all the way around, and once more, come back towards me and Nala. I was starting to get a little nervous, but I've always been an anxious little critter, so I tried to play it cool. No doubt this guy was harmless, and I was just getting the wrong idea. The motorbike pulled over on the other side of the road. The rider dismounted his bike and started walking in the same direction as me, on the other side of the road. He was wearing full leathers and a basic black helmet. He was 25 meters, 82 feet, behind me. Now I was feeling really paranoid. Walking in the same direction as me doesn't mean he's following me, I reminded myself. He might be walking towards the upcoming pedestrian pathway that led to a park and some houses on an adjacent street. He crossed the road to the same side as me. He was 20 meters behind me. I had left my phone at home while I walked for the first time ever in an attempt to disconnect, so I couldn't call my then boyfriend, and there were no residential houses on the street. I walked a little faster. He walked a little faster. He was 15 meters, 49 feet, behind me. Cheerfully, I spoke to my dog, Nala. Hey, girl, ready for our jogging leg? Think we can make it to the roundabout? Gotta get home to Dad. My throat was tight, that feeling of your tongue being too big for your mouth, but I tried to say it loud. I hoped he'd heard me. I was hoping to clue him in that I was scared, but in such a way that he didn't feel bad. Still, I was giving this man an out. I started jogging. He started jogging. Finally, the terror broke through. That kind of animal panic where your brain feels cold, but your body feels hot. Your hands tingle, you're hearing buzzes, and your lungs burn while every breath is a millisecond away from being a sob. I started sprinting. So did he. I took off like my life was at stake. And honestly, maybe it was. I could hear him behind me, riding boots clumping along noisily enough that the sound echoed off the walls of the warehouses. Now, I'm fast when I get going, but I can't sprint forever. I knew I was going to have to face him, maybe fight him, very, very soon. The roundabout, the streetlights, and the nearest residential home were still a kilometer, a little more than a half mile, away. Close enough to see, close enough to basically touch, but still so far. I remember the wild feeling as I stopped and wheeled around to look at my pursuer. I remember that my mind was still empty, reeling, short of breath and terrified, and still not sure if I was going to say something, launch myself at him, or just scream at the top of my lungs and hope someone found us. And none of that happened. He stopped, because as I turned around, my sweet little baby turned around too, and she unleashed a cacophony of snarls, growls, and barks that I had never heard from her or any other dog. My puppy, only 6 years old, and the softest, most spoiled little princess I had ever met, was suddenly a vicious-looking beast. Did I mention my tiny baby angel is a 77-pound Rottweiler? In that moment, Nala was exactly the scary Rottweiler that Facebook mummy groups worry about mauling their children. But she wasn't going for someone's toddler. She was going for this grown man. And boy, was she going for him. She lunged for him again and again, spit flying from her jowls. Finally, mercifully, this guy was backing off. He actually raised his hands up, palms out in the whoa, whoa position, as if now we were the threat. He started walking backwards, back towards his bike. Now, if this was a movie, I would have had some clever little line. But as it was, all that happened is I stared at him, panting and crying, until he turned fully away from me, and then I started slowly walking towards the roundabout again, checking over my shoulder every 10 meters or so. And my baby girl turned back with me, happily trotting next to me and wagging her tail. Nala got a steak for dinner that night, and I got a lesson in never leaving your phone at home when you go for a walk. I've paid the pet tax by attaching a picture of my hero, Nala, now 13, and her rescued little brother, Arnie, 7. Thankfully, she's never had to protect me like that again, and is now enjoying her retirement by letting her brother do all the guard dog work. Thanks for sharing my story. Listen to your intuition and give your dogs a cuddle every chance you can.
Oh my gosh, Nala the hero. Look at the face.
Nala, Archie is very cute too, but oh, Nala.
Oh, they're both beautiful. Nala, you are a girl's girl. That is such a scary fucking feeling, dude. You can trick yourself for a minute, like, this is probably just a coincidence. When you start jogging and he starts jogging, game over.
No, this is my, like, worst nightmare. And I don't often run with the dogs just because she's over 10 years old now. And, you know, and the goose doesn't run. She just plants her feet. But having Buffy early on when I first got her, I was like, this is what I got her for. Mm-hmm. And she has done it one time. And it was a person was on a bench and like lunged forward at me. And she just, when they bear down, especially a dog as sweet as I'm sure Nala is, like, Buffy has never met a stranger. She is like the biggest open mouth, lickiest, like, like so sweet to everyone. And when they do that, like, it's like that, the sound that I make when a friend, someone's fucking with my friend, where it's like, I'm gonna fuck you, motherfucker, you better watch out. If you don't step back, I will tear your throat off. And it's, you don't even have to say it in human words. It's the dog sounds. And the guy going, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. The same guy did that. He lunged at me. And I go, you lunged at me. Like, acting like you're the victim all of a sudden.
No, all of a sudden, like, you're the problem. Yeah.
She is pit bull. So, I mean, much like Rottweilers, people.
Yeah, I don't think she looks like a pit bull, though. I mean,
who, Buffy?
Not really.
Matters.
Yeah. When you do have a sweet, you know, Scooby-Doo-like dog all the time.
That's a great way to put it.
And then all of a sudden you hear that, you're like, oh, well, something's fucked up with this person then because I've never seen this before. And animals can sense stuff like that.
I feel like they sense stuff even that we can't even articulate it. And our response is nerves. And because they are our protectors, and especially if that is your baby, like you said, they will be loyal. And
they go into fight. They don't flight. They fight.
Nope. No. I mean, and even the goose, I was holding her one time at the mailboxes at my old apartment complex. And someone came like really close to me and she snapped at him. And I said, why are you in my personal space? And I said, yes, she bites. I say it all the time. I'm like, she's vicious. Stay away from her. Stay away. She weighs 8 pounds, but she's almost doesn't have all her teeth. But
but a dog, people, for some reason, if a dog gets involved, they'll usually back down, even if it's a small dog.
Well, Nala, I'm glad Nala has passed the torch to someone so capable as sweet Archie. And I'm glad you listened to your intuition and took off when you did. I think, you know, it's all we can do is listen to ourselves. But we've been trained, like you said, to second guess yourself. Like, well, I don't want to seem rude. I'm going to seem crazy. And now I'm just like, I don't know. I'm crazy and rude. Whatever. Fuck it.
Even giving him the out. Like,
yeah.
Because you're scared as a woman to be like, hey, Nala, we're about to run because this motherfucker's following us. You're still trying to be polite as to not invite anything dangerous. And still, it doesn't, you know, he's sprinting after you. So. Yeah, fucking just scream as loud. Just scream and act like an insane person, and you know, see how far that gets you. Fuck everybody. I'm crazy. I'm crazy now.
Crazy now. I saw one of the best videos I've ever seen on TikTok, and it's my new algorithm is women fighting back, and it was women in their car, and the caption was normalize pepper spraying someone who follows you to your car on girls' night, and the man puts his face up, and she's like, step back. She pepper sprays him in the face. He comes back and is like, you missed me, bitch, and she goes, oh, I did? Okay, and she sprays him again. did not miss the second time. And then he's on the ground, just obviously wailing. Again, it's like, I'm a victim now. I'm like, mm-hmm. This is all because of your own actions and behavior. And the women are just roasting him from the car window as he sits on the ground. They're like, yeah, I hope you cry, you fucking baby. Stay away from women. That should teach you. Because they were safely in their car and they did have a weapon and stuff. But I want to, that's the algorithm I like to be, is when it'll say POV, you're on a walk and you begin barking at a man who follows you too close. It's just like, I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Like, fuck around, find out. There's no rules anymore. Nope. You know, just do whatever it. Because everybody else is.
Yeah. There you go. And we all get a pass. Happy weekend. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
It sucks too that you do want to go on a nature walk with your dog and disconnect from what we are tethered to every day is our phones. And that because of that, now you're find yourself in a situation where you do need a phone to call for help.
And it's like, I can't even take my fucking watch off. I can't even take my phone, leave my phone in my car, because that's as soon as that happens, it's when I get lost or followed or fall down a ravine or something. I have to freaking James Franco cut my own arm off.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for sending that in, Bree, and give a big old kiss and snuggles to both Nala and Arnie.
Scratchy scratchies. Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
Oh, man. I was laying in bed today just like, I love this mattress. And I say it all the time, but it's so true. It's so comfortable. I've never had an issue with it. I'll be a Helix fan for life. I love that you can take a quiz that's like 2 minutes. And based on how you sleep, what concerns you might have, are you hot or cold when you sleep? What side do you sleep on? It says this is the mattress that you should get. And it was right.
No, seriously. It used to be so overwhelming. I'm like, I don't know. There's all these like weird hyphenated words and everybody's trying to trick you and say they have the best. But when I took the Helix sleep quiz, it asked me questions. I was like, this is what I should be considering when deciding on a mattress. I got matched. And now, like Christy said, I love this bed. And I think about it all day. I think about getting back into bed because I love it so much. And delivery was so easy. They brought it right to the door, drug it on in. I mean, 120 night trial also gave me a peace of mind. So I knew if I didn't like it, I could work with them to get something that I did like. Helix has won so many awards. And you can see why, because it's the place you spend all your time. And it feels so good when it feels so good.
Yeah. And during this time of year when it's cold and you just want to be snuggled up, go get in your Helix mattress.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, it's the best, one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah.
Go to helixsleep.com/creepy through January 21st for their flash sale and get 27% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/creepy through January 21st for their flash sale to get 27% off site-wide. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/creepy.
Well, this next one is from A, because I'm a Canadian, eh? And it's called Canadians on the Border. A writes, hello to the wonderful ladies of Sinisterhood. Love you, mean it. I've been listening to you from the beginning since June and have been going through your Patreon catalog embarrassingly quickly. I recently listened to Freaky Friday episode 178, where, once again, active drills were mentioned. It made me remember a conversation I had with my sister by heart. And we were discussing the crazy amount of mass shootings the Americans have. We live in New Brunswick by Moncton, where a normal activity for residents is to travel to the States and go shopping. That has significantly decreased lately, to the point that over the summer, we were targeted with tourist ads from New York and Maine asking us to visit despite the current political environment. Canada is not a perfect place, and we'll never ever say that we have it all figured out, but we are mostly happy with who we are. And we generally try to take care of our own. That being said, it worries us that hate is spreading, and we see the occasional similarities across the borders. We have gun safety laws, but we live in an area where hunting is a lifestyle. Less about the weapon, more about the hunt. However, there has been a couple of shootings near schools that have prompted lockdown practices. When my sister and I were talking about the number of shootings, I paused to ask my fourth grader, who goes to a K-12, how often they have drills, naively thinking twice in 5 years. She rolled her eyes and said, twice a year. Twice a year? Digging deep for calm, I asked her what they looked like. I told her that I've never had one and was curious what she goes through. She told me that they get away from the windows, they close the blinds, the teacher will quickly bring any students in from the halls and lock the doors. Okay, I said, but what if you can't get in the classroom? What about the bathroom? She calmly showed me that she sits on the toilet and hugs her knees to her chest. You have to make sure your feet don't show, she explained. Then she quietly admitted that it kind of scared her. My heart was broken. My youngest started kindergarten this year, and she's going through the same thing. I told them they can always talk about it with us, and it's okay to be scared. That's your brain's way of protecting you. I wanted to finish by saying that we love you, and my husband agreed with Tommy in expressing that we're seeing the end of the known political format. Things are shaking up, and it's up to all of us who are affected to direct that change. Keep on creeping.
Oh, well, thank you, A. And
man, A, I can't relate more to this. It's the worst feeling when your kid comes home from school and talks to you about a lockdown drill they had. And in America, it's much more than twice a year that they have these. Oh, I'm tearing up just thinking about it because it is nothing that we had to do growing up. And it is my kids' normal. It's all they will have ever known growing up. And hearing them describe it in that innocent way of, well, you got to hug your knees tight so they don't see your feet. And they still don't even really understand the gravity of the situation or who they're hiding their feet from. It's explained to them, of course, in a way that isn't going to terrify them from ever coming back to school. But at the same time, as they get older, they have access to the internet and friends, and they're going to learn all these things. And there's going to come a time where Ella's like, have you heard of Columbine? Have you heard of Sandy Hook?
Uvalde. The trial's happening right now. Yeah.
All of these things. And she's like, is that what we have to do these drills? And I'm going to have to say it is. And it's not fair. And I wish every fucking day that you didn't have to.
No, I cannot imagine that feeling of probably helplessness. And as gently as you do the drills and as age appropriate as you do the drills, a friend of mine taught kindergarten and they used to say, you know, you're little bunnies. You have to be quiet little bunnies over here. I think it's impossible not to, especially once one kid knows, you know, it's going to spread. Yeah. They're going to tell everybody else. By second grade, I was using swear words and stuff. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, I had an older sibling. So my older sibling talked a lot of shit, said, you know, it flowed down. I told all my friends. So I think probably systemic change is the answer versus trying to individually shield each of our own children. It's one of those we all got to work together.
Putting the onus on one of the most vulnerable populations we have to protect themselves, or putting it on teachers who have to make a call of, am I going to save my class and sacrifice myself or not? And it makes me want to throw up every day, all day, all the time.
And thank you for your perspective as well as a Canadian, because I think that, you know, we so often think these things are, we live in a bubble or there's these magic other places where everything's so perfect. And I'm sorry that our bullshit is running over the border. You know, it's like having a shitty neighbor in the middle condo. The people underneath us are suffering and the people above us are suffering too. So as we all suffer, we all realize it is not, the borders aren't some sort of magical thing. In fact, they're fucking made up. So while I think they have no bearing on humans, I think they also have no bearing on issues. Like the issues just
truly
pour across. So thank you for not coming to the U.S. I think you should. That's a powerful statement. I think I believe they said in Q4 of 2025 that international tourism was down something crazy, like 24%. Sorry to all of our friends in the travel and tourism business, but good, because money is the only thing that anyone ever pays attention
100%.
To.
100%. So keep your money over in Canada. Don't give it to us. Don't come here. That is really the only time the powers that rule us start to fucking give a shit is when their pocketbooks or their power, which kind of go hand in hand, are affected.
Seriously. And also for your own safety, don't come to America. But yeah, hopefully in the not too distant future, it'll be safe for you to get back to New York, to Maine, to do your shopping with those wonderful U.S. businesses. And that's how we all have to realize, look to your left, look to your right. We're all suffering. And it's the people with their boots on us that are not. So I think, I don't know the exact answer right now, but sharing stories like yours and reminding ourselves that there's more ants than there are grasshoppers, I feel like is always the right move.
Mm-hmm. And your kiddos are beautiful. You have a beautiful family. And one of them is wearing a Wonder Woman costume, and that's what all three of you are.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
If you've ever tried to get psychiatric care and hit a 6-month wait list or bounced around between sketchy websites just trying to find someone who takes your insurance, same. That's why I was so impressed with Talkiatry. It's actual psychiatric care with real doctors that works with your schedule and your insurance. It's not another meditation app. It's real help without the wait.
What makes Talkiatry different is that it's not just therapy. It's full psychiatric care. That means you're meeting with a licensed medical provider who can actually diagnose conditions like anxiety, ADHD, insomnia, and more. And they can prescribe medication if that's part of your treatment. It's 100% online, but it still feels personal and thoughtful. You're not rushed and you're not left wondering what's next.
And the best part, it works with your insurance. No monthly subscription fees or paying out of pocket for every session. They've got over 600 in-network clinicians, and getting started takes just a few minutes. You fill out a short assessment, you get matched with someone who fits your needs, and can book your first appointment in days, not months. Talkiatry has helped over 300,000 people already, and it honestly just makes the whole process feel doable.
Head to talkiatry.com/creepy and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/creepy to get matched in minutes. Well, this next one is from Natalie, and the subject line is, "The woman in the stall next to me needed help." Hi, ladies. Love you and love what you do. Please never stop. One night, I was out to dinner with my husband, Michael, and our friends, Janet and John. When we finished eating, I went to the restroom before we left. While I was in a stall, I heard the woman in the stall next to me talking on the phone. She sounded really upset, saying a man was bothering her and that she didn't know where he was. I couldn't hear anyone responding, so I assumed she was on a call with a friend. When she came out of her stall, I saw her standing at the sink, wearing a baseball cap and still talking on the phone. She looked shaken and kept staring at the floor. I held my hands where she could see them, caught her eye, and mouthed, "Are you okay?" She looked up and shook her head no. I asked if I could help. She stayed on the phone with her friend the entire time, but she told me what was happening. She had been sitting at the bar when a man she knew through work, a contractor on a project she was involved with, started hitting on her, touching her, and making her uncomfortable. She was a regular at this bar and had even tried texting the bartender to get help, but nothing was done. Now, she was afraid the man might be waiting for her outside the restroom. I asked what he looked like and stepped out into the hallway that led to the exit. I walked right past my husband and friends without explaining, scanning the place for him. I didn't see him, so I went back in and told my friends there was a woman who needed help. Then I returned to her and I asked if she wanted us to walk her to her car. She immediately said yes. We all walked out together. The restaurant opened directly onto the street with parking lots on both sides. Her car was in the lot to the right, and when she looked around the corner of the building, she saw that the man had moved his truck and parked right next to her car. He was sitting inside, waiting. Panicked, she handed her keys to Michael and John, and they went to get her car while Janet and I stayed with her. As Michael and John got into her car, the man started honking and trying to get their attention, but they ignored him, drove the car around to the other side of the building. Thankfully, he didn't follow. The woman was still on the phone with her friend and decided she was going straight to her friend's house instead of home. When her car pulled up, she hugged all of us and thanked us over and over. She said she had no idea what would have happened if she had walked out there alone. Maybe nothing, but maybe something. That night was a reminder of how important it is to pay attention to the people around you and step in when you can. Sometimes a small moment of awareness makes a very big difference.
I think that echoes true now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Just helping others out when you see a fellow human struggling and upset. And Natalie, good, that's, you did exactly what I would hope anyone in that situation would do, and good for you. And I'm your whole friend group.
Yeah. You know,
because he'd moved her car to be right next to hers and was sitting in it waiting. I mean, why do you do that? You know?
You know, best case scenario, he's following you and that sucks shit. Worst case, mm-hmm. he's going to get out and is at you, at your car, especially if it's the front of the restaurant and the car is far enough that you have to walk out, walk around, see your car and walk to it. Like, you're trying to beat me to my car mm-hmm. to get there
to
first.
To either continue harassing you or worse, you know? Honking at the men, yeah, just ignore. Yeah. I love that because he was just going to be, that's not your car. That's somebody else's car. And I hope that he was taken down a few pegs when he realized, oh, she got people from inside mm-hmm. to help her because I'm a crazy creep. And they drove the car back over to her. That it stung and made him realize, well, I can't just do this shit. But mm-hmm. who knows?
Right. I'm like, I hope you feel ashamed of yourself that you're a weirdo sitting in your car. But I think shout out to you for paying attention and listening, and for your friends for being willing to stick around and help somebody they didn't know. Mm-hmm. And Michael and John, unfortunately, a lot of times with predatory men, the only thing that makes them back down is another man. So having two men, I mean, he wasn't even backing down. He was honking at them. So he still was juiced up to do something that night. So mm-hmm. I don't think the options between maybe he would do nothing and maybe he would do something. Pretty sure it's the second one.
Yeah, especially when alcohol is involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry for her too, that the bar, you know, the bartender and yeah. the staff. I'm always so heartened at bars when it's like, if somebody's bothering you, go to the order an angel shot. Mm-hmm. And if you need somebody to walk you to your car, ask it for an angel shot on the rocks. And if you want us to call 911, call it an angel shot straight up. You know, like where there's mm-hmm. a system. I've been seeing those, and I've been seeing stickers with like a QR code and resources for like a domestic violence kind of network, support mm-hmm. network, like a domestic violence railroad network and things like that. And finding, you know, women holding their hands up and like putting their, doing the hand symbol to indicate that they're not safe. Being aware of those things is so vital. And that way, when someone is going, you know, moving their hand at you, you're not mm-hmm. going, I don't know, she's doing this Vulcan symbol with her hand, but she wasn't doing it right. And you're like, no, that was, she's terrified and needs mm-hmm. help. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us and for looking out for your fellow human.
Yeah, being a good example for us to follow. Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one's from Charlotte, and the subject line is Flashers, Flashers Everywhere. Hi, ladies. I discovered you guys a few years ago on the 30 Morbid Minutes pod, and I've been listening ever since. I really enjoy your energy and sense of humor, and your friendship reminds me and my bestie. I have two stories of differing levels of sinister, the first of which I thought of after hearing you talk about how adults don't need help from kids. This happened over 30 years ago, when I was about 5 years old. My memory is a bit fuzzy, so I recruited my older siblings to help fill in the gaps. That being said, we were all quite young at the time, so some of the details are still a bit vague. The part of the city I grew up in was located near a large river, along which ran a boardwalk with bike paths and a big grassy park. We played there a lot as kids, and since it was the early 90s, we were rarely, if ever, supervised. One day, I was there with one of my older siblings and our neighborhood friends. There were probably 5 or 6 of us, all between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. While we were playing, we were approached by a man who I would guess was in his late 20s or early 30s. As a child, I assumed every adult was at least 35, so who knows exactly. He asked us if we could help him out. He told us that he lost a bet with some friends and his punishment was having to streak along the boardwalk while his friends watched. He needed us, aka a group of children, to hold a towel around him while he stripped naked and walk over to his friends. Side note, these friends were nowhere to be seen, and in hindsight, they probably didn't exist. Now, as a 5-year-old, I did not understand what this man was actually asking of us. I just knew that an adult needed my help, so I had to do it, right? Luckily, the older kids knew this was some weird-ass shit and quickly ushered us away, telling him, nope, sorry, can't help, no. They took us home and told our parents, who quickly called the police. The older kids told the police everything they could, but as far as I know, the man was never found. It wasn't until I was a bit older that I understood what this man's intentions probably were. I'm so thankful the older kids were there to protect us young'uns, because who knows what else could have happened. My other story is a bit more recent and hopefully more fun. I worked in a small party town during my 20s. One evening, after some pre-drinks, my friends and I were heading into town for a night out. We were taking a small side street and happened upon two young men relieving themselves against the wall. One of them must have thought it would be hilarious to flash us and came bouncing over towards us, dick in hand and laughing. I don't know what came over me. I must have been at that perfect level of tipsy where you just don't give a fuck. I skipped right up to him, put my boot on his dick, and pushed him out of the way. It was not a kick, I swear. He and his friends freaked out while my friends burst out laughing. We continued on our way. It's still a moment my friends praise me for, and I hope he thinks of it anytime he feels the urge to flash his junk to unsuspecting women. Thanks for reading, and keep it creepy. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. A hero on our hands. A hero. Boot to the dick.
I couldn't love that more. And you know what? Bella. He does think about that every 100%. Time. Because I would imagine that's a, you know, one and done experience for him. So I bet every time he pulls his dick out to pee, he thinks about that. Good for you.
He like looks around for a boot. Like,
oh, I hope so. I hope he walks around nervous all the time, because who are you? Get the fuck away. And this thing with the children, I'm so glad the older kids understood that, even if maybe you don't understand what he's going to do or what he could do, you know, that gut instinct, icky feeling that this isn't right. This is something we shouldn't be a part of. We need to get the hell out of there.
Like, I'm in something unusual right now. Mm-hmm. Like, normally adults, and like, you're like, naked towel. But that's just it. They want to come up on you and be like, hey, you got to do this thing. It's really fast. It's just my friends. And it's like so fast that you've just been approached and you're like, And as a 5-year-old, I'm like, yeah. Simon's 5. Like, you know what I mean? And kids can be very, okay. You're like, well, an adult told you to do it. So thankfully for the older kids. And if only someone with a boot was nearby,
yeah,
that would have been really helpful. But I know you said it wasn't a kick, but if it was, that's okay too.
It's still okay.
We won't tell anybody. The statute of limitations is run. I've gnarled a man's genitalia in a quest to defend myself before. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, do what you got to do. I think, though, that you touched on a really interesting thing, Charlotte, that I've been thinking about myself recently is it does happen over 30 years ago. And at the time it happens, you don't even realize like how serious or traumatic it could be. Mm-hmm. And then with your adult brain and experiences, you look back on those things that happened to your younger self and you're like, oh, that was way more fucked up than I thought it was at the time. And I'll be like, if an adult said or did something like that to Ella, we'd all flip the fuck out. If an adult, when I was 8, said or did something like that, you know, to me, it was different times. And it's kind of like, well, adults are, you got to pay attention to what they say. Whatever adults say, it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, there's a couple of like memories that have cropped up for me lately that I'm like, at the time, even as like a teenager, or high school or college, you know, you kind of just brush it off as, well, that was weird, or that's just a thing that happens. And now I'm 47 and I'm like, that was weird. And it is a thing that happens and it was wrong.
Yeah.
And you didn't know it at the time, but you can look back now and be like, oh, that actually was something a little more extreme than I was giving it credit for at the time. Mm-hmm. You know?
I wonder what the psychological underpinnings are for that. But when I worked at Legal Aid, my clients, in order to qualify for me to work with them, they had to have been victims of abuse. And people, we don't want to call ourselves that. So someone, when I was like screening my clients in my initial call, I couldn't say, and are you a victim of abuse? I had to kind of be like, so what exactly happened? And they would tell me. And then eventually I'd be like, okay, well, I only work with victims of abuse. And they're like, oh, well, I haven't been abused. And that's something that I agree with you, that I've had to grapple with too, where stuff crops up in your mind and the whatever that initial script, that self-protection script kicks in, that's like, oh, he was just like a helpful, nice guy that probably was just trying to, you know, get me to convert to Christianity or whatever. And then when you go like, well, I'm in a factual narrative without saying it was good or bad, I'm just going to lay out the facts. And objectively, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's when your brain starts to go, oh, no. And then like you said, well, how many more nuggets like that are hidden up there?
Yeah.
That I thought, oh, I was just like a weirdo, or that guy was just too much, or that was happening. And then you realize, oh, no. And I think there probably is a self-protective part of us. It's like, well, I should have done something or whatever. And we don't want to blame ourselves for it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what it is. But I hear you. And, you know, much like here in Charlotte's story, it's like you think as an adult, you're like, oh, God, that was a pervert who was right there trying to lure us.
I was thinking, this memory popped up in my head, and this was when I was an adult. I'd graduated college and was walking my dog in the courtyard area of the apartment I lived in. And this older man was wearing the tiniest shorts, like smaller than Richard Simmons style, walking. And he was an older man, and he walked up and bent and was like, oh, let me see your dog, he's so cute, bent down to pet him. I am like, I'm face to face with this man's nutsack. It is literally
on purpose
hanging out of the shorts that he is wearing. At the time, in my mid-20s, I didn't think it was on purpose. I was like, oh my God, how embarrassing for him. I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm just going to pretend like nothing's happening and then take my dog and leave. And forever I thought that. And I still honestly don't know. It could have been an accident, but I'm much more savvy now to admit that there's also the possibility it wasn't and that that was intentional. And you were a victim in a way of something that happened. So it's just weird. It's fucking weird when memories pop back up and you're like, oh, at the time I was like, kind of, I was an adult and still didn't think there was something wrong with that. And now I'm like, there probably was though.
No, I mean, same. Yeah. Really, it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe like my mid 30s or so, right? That there's like a, I feel like we have this awakening where we're like, No, I'm done with all that. Like, if someone bent over now, I'd be like, your nutsack's out, man. You know, but when you're 20 and when you think, I think about the 20 year olds in my life that are in college that this could very easily happen to, that if they came to me and told me, I would probably be like, I don't, it sounds like probably, but I definitely know they would probably go, no, it was an accident. Cause again, it's this protection thing we try to do, but I think the perpetrator
does it in a way that you also might think it's an accident.
On purpose. Yeah, I think on purpose, definitely. It's a manipulation tactic, and it's why the guy that was waiting for the woman that Natalie helped in the in story number 4 was waiting and stuck there because he was like, I was just sitting in my car. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to say hi to somebody. It's like the perpetrators always try to have plausible deniability, which I think is why it's vital to listen to victims, because they can tell you like, no, I was just being 5 and this dude came up and tried to.
I remember being real young, maybe around 5 in a store and walking down an aisle. My mom was on like the next aisle over and there was an old man there, just everything out. And I remember running to my mom and being like, this man over there is, his privates are out. And, you know, I mean, like at the time you're like, what just happened? But now I'm like, oh, he was flashing people in the store. He was exposing himself to young kids and whoever else was there on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and of course you have the innocent mind of a kid going, oh no, does he know his pants are not? Yeah. Maybe he's had an incident and he's struggling. And, you know, a parent has to be like, no, it's a fucking pervert.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, it's interesting that it's the same us inside of us that has grown up all these years and like that experienced that. But then now we get to have the perspective of ourselves.
Of your adult brain.
And you fucking hold on, motherfuckers. If I ever get a time machine, I'm gonna come back and whoop all your asses. But thank you so much for sharing this with us, Charlotte, because I think it helps a lot of folks who maybe has had stuff happen to them in the past to go, oh no, that was, you know, it's almost like two running.
You minimize it.
He's not chasing me. He must just be going the same way, the same direction as me quickly. It's like I think we all think, well, I'm not special enough to be chose as a victim.
And, or that it just won't ever happen to me. Yeah. Or like, surely this can't be intentional. Or, you know, in the moment, you're trying to protect yourself or make excuses or whatever, but that's okay. If in the moment that's what your brain has to do to get you through it. One day, if it clicks that it wasn't just an accident, then that's when you can start to heal.
Mm-hmm. And move through it. Well, thank you for sending that one in. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This last one we got here is from B, and the subject line is Satanic Panic Middle School Experience. Hey, y'all. Of course, I'll start by saying hi, hello, how are ya? Love you both, and thank you for being my third trimester / postpartum soundtrack over the last year. I've been listening much longer, but had a complicated pregnancy that had this ER nurse doing a lot of office work toward the end, where I got to hit the back catalog and have some great company while auditing charts. I thought I'd be writing to you the first time about my nursing school stalker, my terrifying ICE situation, a weird encounter in a cemetery that I frequently wondered may have been with Israel Keys, or other wild tales from my life. Instead, I'm pleased to share with you my own brush with the satanic panic. When I was in sixth grade in 1999, I wore burgundy or black lipstick, dyed my hair, and tried to look as goth or punk as I could on hand-me-down budgets. We also had this awesome witch store in town, and I was stoked to get my hands on a copy of Wicca, A Solitary Practitioner, because y'all know I was watching The Craft on repeat. One day, after a quiz, we were allowed to read whatever we wanted quietly while the class finished, and I busted that bad boy out to read about a Thames or whatever. Mrs. C came over and told me, "Excuse me, but you can't read that in class." As a kid whose young single mom brought me to every protest and punk show she went to, I replied, "Absolutely I can," before getting sent to the principal's office, where he tried to argue with me before sending me back out. After that, my best friend, who we'll call Sarah, got called in as well, and the two of us were accused of, quote, "recruiting members to your satanic cult," because she had a drawing of an alien and a fairy in her locker. We were flabbergasted that Christians were praying at the flagpole every morning, so what was the big deal? We had to watch some crazy video of a guy who started playing D&D and then killed his parents and a convenience store clerk before my mom and dad threatened the school with the ACLU and shut it all down. It was wild. In retrospect, this was especially funny because we didn't have any other friends, really, so if we were recruiting, we weren't really doing a great job for Satan. Pretty sure a Fwali Adu does not a cult make. And like, what? Are they imagining two 12-year-old girls covered in Claire's facial glitter riding the bus to Radio Shack to meet the Illuminati and decorate people's apartments? Anyway, it fizzled out, as these things do, until someone sent the principal to sing me happy birthday in the library during lunchtime when I was in the eighth grade. I earned some real cool kid points for telling him to make tracks for me, and I told him I didn't like him after he accused me of being a cult recruiter and violated my right to freedom of religion, which, to be fair, was a bit of a stretch for a 14-year-old who was really just into the idea of it more than anything. He pulled me into the office, and I was like, "Dude, you really can't do anything to me after your satanic panic nonsense. I've essentially got carte blanche here, baby." And I left his office. It ended up being mostly true, too, because I never got pulled into his office again, and I got into a lot of fights as a kid, so I definitely deserved it. If you want me to write in my other wild tales, I'm happy to oblige. Take care and be safe out there. Love to hear the both of you discuss this dystopian nightmare we all live in. All the love.
Oh, man. B, I couldn't love you more.
The B stands for badass.
Yeah, I remember being in middle school and wearing the dark burgundy lipstick and the chokers and all of that, and my mom being worried that I was going to turn goth. Oh, I didn't ever get called out on reading a book like that, but I certainly would have had the same attitude and been sent to the principal if I had.
Hell yeah. I hit my punk looking phase in like ninth grade. I was like, I'm going to go to high school and I'm going to be fucking punk. And I'm like, it's the same kids from middle school.
Yeah.
And they're like, Heather? I'm like, I have my clothes fixed together with safety pins. Ooh. And like, I'm wearing fishnets with combat boots and this like, I don't know, this like 50s I Love Lucy dress with the fishnets and combat boots. I thought I had a look going. I do remember my teacher later being like by the end of the year, because I was such a brown noser teacher's pet, like forever, like all, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to dress punk, but I'd be like, yes, Mrs. C, I'll put the book away. I'm sorry. You know? And that teacher was like, when you came in my class at the beginning of the year, I was like, this girl is going to cuss me out. She was like, I was so surprised. That's You're so funny. Nice. I was like interloping and pretending to be goth. Yeah. I don't know that I would have the cojones to be like, you can't get in my face after you violated my, maybe now, but not.
I was the opposite. I was pretty preppy and had the attitude of that. So it was a, I got my mouth got me into a lot of trouble, but I didn't look like the type of child from the teacher's standpoint of stereotypes that, but I got a reputation pretty quickly. So followed me forever and
put you in.
Still does. I still get people hating on me for speaking my mind, but that's okay.
You know what?
Now, I make a living off of it, so fuck all of you.
From two bitches who got talks too much in their report cards, now we get paid. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being the kids at our table that were getting in trouble because you have us in your ears at work and you're like, I'm not supposed to be talking to y'all. Like, y'all better get me in trouble again. It's like Heather and Christy are over there talking, mm-hmm. but it's true. Man, that also... Thank you, Beef. That's a elite pull from the Mike Warnke story of the going to Radio Shack to meet the Illuminati in right? people's apartments.
Yes. But, and yeah. But also to that point of the Christians playing at the flag, praying at the flagpole. We also had that in high school.
Yeah.
And it always got around it because it was like before school hours. There's that's still going on, by the way. Yeah. I'm still I have recently had to deal with something similar. So it's like, oh, okay, again, this normalized majority practice religion, mm-hmm. that's okay. We can all do that because that's what we are and that's what we want everybody to be. But if you look anything different from that, then you're about to get expelled.
Mm-hmm. If you are anything out of the norm. I remember when the kids would put, like write S. Y-A-T-P for see you at the poll, like, and it would be like S-Y-A-T-P.
God,
and, it,
that's embarrassing.
And I remember, and I do remember being like, well, everybody's going to the poll.
Yeah.
What happens at the poll?
You get bullied into it.
They were like, we get together and pray in a circle at 7 a.m. And I was like, no, I will not be doing
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, what time?
At 7 a.m.
Oh, no.
Did I go to school early every single day? Absolutely. Was it to pray? It was not. It was to hang out with my friends in Mrs. Mole's class. And I recently found a VHS video of it. Of like, I forgot. It would be like 20 of us in there doing homework, hanging out with each other, like helping and stuff. But that
while the kids were praying for your salvation at the pole.
They were like, meanwhile, inside.
Did you see the fishnet she had on today?
That's oh my what. God. Did you see her plaid pants? She thought she was so cool. I was so glad I was filming on plaid pants day because those were, I felt like I was the shit in those. But
nice.
What a time, man. And I would desperately love to see the D&D killer video because that was in Sarah Marshall's series, The Devil You Know. There's one of the episodes is about a guy who kind of similar. He was like playing D&D with his friends, but it was a weird British, it was like some weird offshoot. So it wasn't quite overtly.
D&D.
And they were like, what is this? Dungeons and Dragons? But they got so mad at him and thought that it was demonic. And
well,
got
Tommy
him to turn
plays
on
it twice
friend.
A week, so I guess we've got Satan in our house.
Yeah, let me look behind you. What's on that shelf? Oh, is that the Necronomicon? Hold on. Hang on a minute. Yeah, it's D&D is going to bring the devil into your house. Yeah. Not
if anything, it's probably the book that looks like it was carved from an ancient tomb into
human
the face
soul.
Of Satan.
Yeah, it has human flesh on the outside. So,
it's
oh
crazy
man,
looking.
What a time. Well, thank you, B, for sharing that with us and everybody. Man, y'all came with them this week.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy you've caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Totally free. Just put in your email. You get immediate access to the chat, to the uncut videos before they go on YouTube, and a whole backlog of free content just for signing up as a free member.
Today was the first Thursday, so also the monthly bonus content that goes out to all of the free members. It's a throwback bonus content came out today. So
nice.
There's a new one, well, new to you, waiting in the feed if you haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely. Well, if you like our free episodes, like you just heard, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer a free trial where you join for a week at any of the tiers. This is a time to do it because you can watch the live stream that we just did last night as you're listening to this, and you can check out all the perks for the week. And if you cancel before the trial is over, you won't get charged. But if you stick around to an annual membership, you get a month free and you get so many more things.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out some merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, clothes for your kiddos, and even headwear to keep your head warm with a beautiful Sinisterhood beanie. And if you are in the ruling the airwaves or getting into it tier, be sure to check the pin post on Patreon to get your merch discount.
Yes, the hoodies are so soft too. Cozy. They're so very cozy. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your Freaky Friday stories, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Be sure you're following us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from episodes, live streams, and more. YouTube is more important than ever because we are trying to spite beat Twin Flames Universe to get to 30K. So maybe make sure you go over to YouTube. Even if you listen auditorily here, first of all, I feel like the One Taste episode is going to be one that you want to watch because we laughed so hard during it and got so tickled. But also just subscribe. It's free and it helps us out. So go over to YouTube and do it.
One of Ella's friends yesterday was over here and never met him. He goes, "Are you a YouTuber?" And I was like, "Am I?"
I mean, kind of. It's technically
I was like, "I have a podcast and we have, you know, it's on." And then they're like, what's it called? I was like, it's for adults.
Don't worry about it.
So
it's called Bluey. It's a TV show called Bluey.
All I know is I'm getting in good with the kids that think I'm a YouTuber. So I'm waiting for everyone to be like, Ella's mom is the coolest.
She has the best job. I mean, truly on career day, like absolutely.
Career day is coming up and I'm submitting to.
You should submit. Speak. You're a content creator and the kids are going to lose it. A, and the teachers are going to be like, you. That's all any of them want to do is be fucking YouTubers. And this lady's going to come in here and tell them, you're like, we bought this house.
They're
YouTube.
Like, can you play a clip from one of your episodes?
We cannot.
No, I cannot. I cannot do that. I'm so sorry.
I hate to say it. We cannot do that. But thank you very much for playing. It's just like, hey, everybody, beep, beep, beep. We bleeped it out.
Beep, beep. Cameo, beep, beep. Anyways, follow us, beep.
Oh, tell me how career day goes. I'm stoked, though. That's awesome.
I will.
Well, now, if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to give yourself a pep talk, start off the new year with a tarot pull, book a cameo now from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you want to celebrate. We want to celebrate with you with a customized video. It's immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. And it's a completely custom gift. So you're like, I don't know what to get her for Valentine's Day. He might want something different. He wants, or she wants, or they want a cameo of Sinisterhood. There's no better way to express your love for someone else. What we'll do is we'll guide you through an oming session if you'd like.
We're like, who's getting stroked?
It doesn't matter. We're gonna use
the recipient is getting stroked.
Getting stroked.
Oh God, McGruff, get out of here! Yeah, McGruff is like,
he leaned in.
Stroking.
He's like, I don't mind. But yeah, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.